back for the first time. Well, Don, is this the first time since way back? Yeah, that's right. Okay, because, yeah, I'll give her a special hand. Didn't expect her in this yet this morning, but that's great. All righty, let's... Yes, thank you. We've seen your comments. Thank you. I think you made a nasty comment about me at one point. So, I think it was the, what I remember is the Mother's Day flowers that weren't, yes, right. Anyway, okay, what do we got here for upcoming or something that's in the past? That's, all right, so Wednesday Bible study, 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to, Lord willing, pick that back up. If Sue cooperates. Bonfire night this Friday night, 6 o'clock. We're going to have the hot dogs and the s'more stuff, right, Anita? So bring a snack, which Sherry or Carolyn had already done. We got some snacks in the office waiting. Roasting stick chair, and bring your own drink, too. I think we're going to bring your own drink as well. Okay? So we'll have fun out back. Next Sunday, I'm returning to the 2020 Vision in 2020. With perfect precepts perspective. And speaking of that, I was just reminded, some of you perhaps have not yet heard that Carl went home. Carl went home yesterday about 10:30. We got there at the hospice care just the moment after he took his last breath. Had a nice visit with Joanna and his daughter Kim were there. I appreciate your prayers. Joanna said she wasn't going to be feeling up to coming yet today. But next Sunday, we're going to have a small remembrance of Carl during the service. So keep her in your prayers as well. And then also, it'll be our monthly food and fellowship fair, which is kind of appropriate because Carl always came especially for the food and fellowship fair. So it'll be a special Carl food and fellowship fair as well. Some of you brought stuff today. Sorry, take it home and eat it, or maybe it'll last the week. We'll see. If you've got your baby bottle for Life Choices Pregnancy Center, you can still bring it in next Sunday. Actually, there's still one left back there somebody could claim, and that's for a good cause, Life Choices Pregnancy Center. And many thanks to Alan for that. I don't know if you noticed coming in that it's matches the door now, and Alan, thank you again for the. We didn't have to. No, of course we didn't have to, but you didn't have to either, but you did, so there. All right. And also, there's Hollis and Kathy getting Hollis's manger, as Linda calls it, all spruced up, new lights in there, and fixed a door frame and a door lock thing, and also a light out here in the hallway. He's still going to work on this cross light, but anyway, we appreciate many. Get him a hand. Get him all a hand. Yes, really appreciate the many hours put in for the Lord, right? Yes. Okay, what else? And on the front of your bulletin, it says Happy Father's Day from Psalm 103. It says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Anyone want to say amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, we come into your house with rejoicing as always, and we celebrate you as our Father. You are the perfect Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us that gift through our fathers. We pray your special blessing and anointing in our midst today. Thank you for each one that is here, mindful of the many that aren't, but we're all united together by your Spirit. And so we just want to honor and glorify you and lift you up today. And we know that as we do so, each one of us will be drawn to you as well. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and greet someone you haven't had a chance. Can we do this? Huh? Yes, we can? Okay. I've got to recover from that stuff. I get more like my mother every day. That's a bad thing to say on Father's Day, isn't it? No, I'm going to leave that alone. Moms are okay. Mom, the older she got, she would just cry at the drop of a hat, and I would go, "What is wrong with you?" I'm becoming my mother more every day. What's wrong with me? Okay, well, what's that? Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
Wow. A life most blessed. That's me. That's me. All righty. And it ultimately is because of a good, good father. And we want to talk about that a little bit today. Today is Father's Day, right? How do you spell day? Oh, look at that. They're already there. Okay. That's all right, D.
Sorry, I was supposed to put blank.
Yeah, you were supposed to, but it's okay. I'll get her later. D-A-Y, David's Absalom Yahweh. How's that sound? We're going to see an interesting connection between David and what he dealt with and experienced with his son Absalom, God included, Yahweh, the Lord, and Jesus experience, the two of them, David and Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Interesting connection I'd never really noticed before until preparing for this Sunday, and so we're going to have fun with that. We begin with, first of all, point one, Absalom, anguish. This is what David experienced first, was Absalom anguish. Absalom was one of David's sons. He ended up killing his stepbrother, Amnon, who had raped Absalom's sister, Tamar. He didn't like that. Killed Amnon, sorry, and then he had to flee. And so we pick up the reading in 2 Samuel 13.
After Absalom fled and went to Geshur, he stayed there 3 years. And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he was consoled concerning Amnon's death. Joab, son of Zeruiah, knew that the king's heart longed for Absalom.
Absalom killed Amnon. David was consoled concerning that. Absalom had to flee. David's heart is for Absalom. He longs to be with Absalom to console him as well, long for him. Later, as the story twists and goes 180, Absalom decides it's a good idea to conspire to win the hearts of Israel to himself and take his father's throne. This is Absalom. This is David's response in 2 Samuel 15 then.
A messenger came and told David, "The hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom." Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, "Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin on us and put the city to the sword."
So this is King David. I mean, the greatest king of Israel in their history up until the time of Jesus. And his son Absalom, who he longed for, who he loved, conspired against him, turned against him. So David realizes he's going to have to flee in order to kind of save things for Israel. And so he experiences a lot of anguish from Absalom. Sons can be like this. Sons can be a real heartache to their fathers, and yet the father still loves the son. Remind you of anyone? This would lead David to go to what we call the Mount of mourning, the Mount of Mourning. All right. As part of his escape to safety, we read in 2 Samuel 15 later.
But David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered, and he was barefoot. All the people with him covered their heads too and were weeping as they went up.
Yeah. So this is David going to the Mount of Olives. in mourning concerning his son Absalom. David gives a full expression of this in Psalm 3, which is devoted to this experience, verses 1 through 8.
Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I awake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people.
As David goes up the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Mourning, he's crying out to the Lord to come to his aid and to help him in this. He's fleeing from his son Absalom. Six times in this psalm, you may have noticed the word Lord, which is the Hebrew Yahweh. The Lord is there. Yahweh is in this experience with David. David knows that. He's crying out to the only one who can help him in this situation. This brings meaning, new meaning to us then, to the Mount of Olives. And, of course, the Lord himself who would come to experience that. It's prophesied in Zechariah 14:4.
On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley.
Take note of that and hold that in your mind. Splitting the Mount of Olives from east to west, forming a great valley. What is that going to mean? We'll see. This reminded me of Jesus and his fondness for the Mount of Olives. I don't know if it's because he remembered David's experience with the Mount of Olives and what it meant to him, but we see a connection, Luke 21 and following.
Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives frequently. That was a place he seemed to be drawn to in what he had to deal with all through his earthly ministry, and of course right up to the very end in the garden when he surrendered all to the Lord and what it was going to mean for him to be there. His surrender in this circumstance helps us to understand David's desire or need to surrender in the rebellion of his son. And this is expressed in what we might call, thirdly, Absalom absolution. What is absolution?
Forgiveness.
Absalom absolution. And this is expressed when David is sending his armies to meet the armies of Absalom in 2 Samuel 18. Who's got that one? 2 Samuel 18:5. Oh, here. Do you want someone else to read that for you, Anita? All righty. Sorry, I thought we had this. Who wants it? Alan wants it. Correct, yes.
The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders.
So David sends his armies out, but he tells the commanders, "Please be gentle with my son Absalom."
Then
And then Sorry, Alan. And then word comes back. Unfortunately, Absalom is killed in the battle. Word comes back to David by two different runners, they called them. And the first runner, whose name is Ahimaaz.
Then Ahimaaz called out to the king, "All is well." He bowed down before the king with his face to the ground and said, "Praise be to the Lord your God. He has delivered up those who lifted up their hands against the Lord, the king." The king asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz answered, I saw great confusion just as Joab was about to send the king's servant and me, your servant, but I don't know what it was." The king said, "Stand aside and wait here." So he stepped aside and stood there. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son."
That is one of the most touching and moving expressions to me in the Bible. Here's this son who had turned on his father. He'd already killed a brother. Now he's trying to rebel all of Israel against his father. He is killed in the process. And what's David's response? "Oh, my son, if I had only died. My son." That just really moves me. Is that a picture of Jesus or what? We take Jesus back to the Garden of Gethsemane and his struggle there and his weeping. I think a lot of his weeping was not necessarily for himself, but for all of those that he was going to have to die for. David wasn't able to die for his son Absalom, but Jesus chose to do that for all of us. And he expressed that, he expressed the heart of the Father on the cross in Luke 23 with these familiar words. Someone can read it from up there. Excuse me.
"When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots."
Sorry. When Jesus said those words, and I have been reminded of those words many, many times when I'm having a hard time forgiving someone or seeing through what they're doing, the choices they're making. And Jesus' perspective, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's kind of like David was expressing that for his son Absalom. "I forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a boy." You know, a father's heart for his son. And Jesus is the one who expressed it most perfectly. This brings us to the third and final aspect of Father's Day, the why, which is Yahweh's what? Yardstick. Now, yardstick can be used in a painful way by fathers. My father gave us a choice, us kids a choice. You can have the yardstick, you can have my belt, you can go out and get a branch off the willow tree, or my hand. But the yardstick was one of them. I didn't like the yardstick. That was about the worst there. But this is not the way in which I want us to understand Yahweh's yardstick. Yardstick is also what? A measuring stick and a standard, so to speak. We use the term yardstick in a lot of ways like that. And that's what I want us to understand. The Lord is not shaking his yardstick at us to spank us or to punish us. Psalm 103 expresses this.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
Yes. Did anyone hear from east to west in there? As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. Do you remember Zechariah 14, what, Alan?
That great rift valley in Israel runs north and south. So for it to go east and west would be a super miracle.
Yes.
Only God.
Right. And as Zechariah had prophesied, the Lord would stand on Mount of Olives, separate it east from west. To me, that was a prophecy of what is fulfilled in Jesus and what is expressed about the Father. As far as the east is from the west, he will remove our transgressions. There's a big valley there in between that the Lord has made so that the Lord doesn't hold those sins against us any longer. They're gone. He's thrown them in his sea of forgetfulness. And so it's beautiful to me what we saw David experience and then Jesus experience and how we can be joined in that experience as we open our hearts to the loving Father. And he uses a yardstick that's way different than we usually use. And we as earthly fathers sometimes get all sidetracked. But the Lord's love is everlasting, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. All of that, we can go on and on. This is the yardstick the Father uses for us. Finally, Malachi chapter 3 helps us bring it to a full circle.
Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
And so we have a choice to make again this morning. We need to always respond to God's word. Will we open our hearts to a Father who loves us so much like that, receive that love, and then pass it on like Jesus did? Or will we be those who say no and turn our backs, reject him, rebel against him, and then receive the consequences? Well, I know where your heart is this morning. I know what your choice is. It's mine. We want more of that love that the Father has for us that has been expressed most perfectly through Jesus. And all he asks us to do is just open our hearts a little bit wider. He will come in and fill us more and more. And it won't only be a blessing to others, but it will spill out to others as well. I think I misspoke there, didn't I? Won't only be a blessing to us, but to others when we let it spill out. I think this truth, God's word, is expressed beautifully in what some would consider kind of a secular song, maybe. But it's a song that ultimately expresses the love of Yahweh, the Father, for us. Because only his is really and truly an everlasting and never-ending love with a big amen on the end of it. It's a love without end. Amen. So sing along with George Strait and me as we open our hearts to the Father's love more and more. Stand together as we respond. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here.
Home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting rooms, and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I'd rehearsed. Then stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen. When I became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. And when I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. Said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. I said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end. Stood outside those pearly gates, when suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. They don't have the things I've done, they'll never let me in. And then somewhere from the other side I heard these words again. And they said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen.
Well, Father, we respond to that. It's like, more, more. Just give me more. Help me to share more. Give me that kind of love. Help me to love like you love. I can't do it on my own. All I can do is open my heart to you and let your spirit in. Control. Thank you, Father. What a marvelous love. Thank you that on this Father's Day we can celebrate you above all. Thank you that sometimes we get good glimpses of you through our earthly fathers. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we aren't ourselves, but you always are. Help us to point others to you. Help us to lift you up, to honor and glorify you in everything we do and say, that others will be drawn to you and only you. Thank you for the opportunities we have each day to represent you in our lives. Help us to be sometimes the only Bible someone will read in a true way. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have to share your love together in this family, this part of your family. I pray your blessing on each and every one here today, those that couldn't be with us, thinking of a lot of fathers out there that we're missing today. But we know you're with them. And I just pray that you would speak to their hearts and their minds. Remind them that you love them. Help them to respond in such a way that they'll be more like you as well. We lift up Joanna to you today. Thankful again, Lord, because you are such a loving father, that Carl finally surrendered and gave his all to you. And we know where he's at today because of that. We just pray your continued comfort and assurance for Joanna, for Kim, the rest of the family, for all those who knew Carl. May his passing, going back home, be of encouragement to them and to us as well, to continue to look to you, to surrender ourselves to you. We lift up Sue and Brooke to you and ask your healing touch for them today. Help them to quickly be renewed in health and strength, that they can continue with the kids they minister to every week. You, and that they are trusting in you today. Thankful Dawn could be with us. We pray your continued blessing for her, renewed health and strength, energy each day. Continue to lift up these. Pray healing for her as well, and also for Connie, Beth Ann's daughter. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer on their behalf. Thank you that Alma is able to be with us today and celebrate her new great-grandson, Eli. Pray that you'll just be with Joe and little Eli as well on this Father's Day especially. Lift up Carolyn to you and ask that you would be with her, helping to babysit a grandson also. These and others that we're missing, we're thankful, Lord, that we can just entrust them all to you and know that you're with each one. And other expressions of praise and petition from your people. Well, sometimes, Lord, we find ourselves without words. And so once again we say, listen to our hearts. You know what's in our hearts, and we lift it to you.